Ministries.com.
Everyone, how you doing? Good. I think you all know who my beautiful wife Faith is, right? Yeah. Well, she saw my notes this morning and she asked, "Is version 4 the title of my message?" Well, yesterday morning I started with version 1, so you can imagine what yesterday was like for me as I kind of rethought some things and pulled some things together and tried to figure this out. It's not something I typically do, but I've had a message on my heart, and I talked to Eric recently, and I just said, hey, you know, I'd be willing to share this and to, you know, kind of talk about this and today, and so he said, yeah, sure, let's go for it today. So so here we are, version 4. All right, so there are, I've seen some like reels and like memes floating around, and basically like the goal, the end of these is like choose your hard, right? And it presents two of the different things. Like, for example, exercise is hard. And also living with weakness or low energy is hard. So just choose your hard. I've seen starting a business is hard. Working for 40 years for someone who tells you when you can eat lunch is hard. Choose your hard. Making your marriage better is hard. Surviving a tough marriage is hard. Choose your hard. And I think we can kind of extend this into our walk with God, right? Reading your Bible consistently is hard. Trying to guess your way through life is hard. Choose your hard. Living your life for God is hard. Living your life in contradiction to the creator of the universe is hard. Choose your hard. So today we're talking about staying the course, following God in a world that encourages us to do the opposite. Our lives tend to be oriented around activities that minimize or remove the importance of God. In a culture where our enemy is constantly at work to distract us and tell us to live more for ourselves, and with our own struggles where we often choose the easy way instead of the better way. So that's where we're headed today, and let's just take a moment and pray as we start. Father, we pray today that you would show us how you can be our guide, and you can direct us in life towards the things that you have for us, the things that you desire for us, and towards your will. And that as we think about the words that we're going to read from Paul, and where he talks about a renewing of our mind, Lord, I pray that you help us keep an open mind. Help us to think about action we can take, and help us to think about the words we're reading and how they apply to us individually. And we just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't know about you, but I often find my spiritual life tends to be somewhat circular, right? Like, there have been years, and it's kind of embarrassing to say, but even sometimes I feel like decades, where I have gone through the same struggles, the same issues. I've failed in the same ways over and over again. And within my pursuit of God, like, nothing changed much, or not as much changed as I thought it should. And on top of that, my life tends to be full of a whole bunch of like shoulds and should nots, right? And when I'm successful in those, I tend to use that as my thermometer as far as like where my spiritual life is. Things like, I should read my Bible. I should pray. I should not say that mean thing to someone. I should listen to worship music. I should not cheat on my taxes. I should share about Jesus to others, right? So don't get me wrong, these things are all good. We can take all these things, we can support them biblically, determine that we should, in fact, do these things and do them regularly. And God has given us in his word many instructions on how to live, and it's important to learn and follow those things. However, obedience to God isn't merely a checklist. It's not just a bunch of shoulds and should nots. So let's think of it like this. You guys all made it to church this morning, right? I know because you're here and I can see you. You're sitting here, right? So most likely you came via a car, and so you had several steps to get here, right? You left your driveway, maybe you stopped for a coffee, you avoided hitting like the college student over on Jackson Street who's crossing the road, and you turned right at some intersection you needed to turn right at, right? So these are all steps you successfully accomplished in your path to getting here today. And they're good steps. They were required. But even all these things together, successful, aren't the only things that it took to get here, right? There's a whole bunch of other steps. If you did any of these individually, you wouldn't be here. If you did all these and nothing else, you would not be here this morning, right? So we can see that there's more to it, right? It's not just a checklist and you've been done. So Eric promised in the email I would talk a little bit about piloting. I'm going to talk a little bit more later, but one of the things, if you know me, in the last few years, I've spent time learning to fly and teaching others to fly airplanes. And for a pilot, we operate a lot off of a checklist. And our checklist is very detailed, right? Like, start the engine is on the checklist. I mean, you would think that would be kind of self-explanatory, but it's not. It's on the checklist. Or remembering to communicate is on the checklist. So the checklist is very detailed, and we try to follow this for the safety of our flight. But just even if we do the entire checklist, doesn't mean we have a perfect flight. And even if the checklist in front of us doesn't mean we follow it correctly, right? So there's always more to it. There's things that we have to do, you know, beyond just a list. And so I guess, are any of you checklist people? List people? Okay. Do you guys ever make like a checklist before you go like camping or on vacation? Yeah. And just make sure you have everything you need, right? And how does that work out for you? Yeah, sometimes it works. But most likely you will find yourself sometime during the trip saying, we should have brought, right? Like the fire starter, the food, the tent, whatever it is, whatever you're doing, right? We can try our best we can, but we're going to forget things. So they fail us. Checklists and lists like that do fail us in everyday life, in flying, in our spiritual life. A checklist is even worse. I could produce several pages of shoulds and should nots in my life, and I will still miss the mark. However, the Bible isn't missing anything. It has everything God intended for it to have and is our perfect guide, yet it doesn't address every single circumstance that we encounter. It doesn't give us every answer we want in plain text. And so today, what we're going to read from Paul is hopefully some wisdom that helps us live a guided life. We can understand the will of God and live a guided life instead of what I'm going to call is a guessing life. Okay? So last year I went to Canada fishing. Well, last year, about a year and a half ago. And with Eli and my dad and a few others. And the way the boats worked out, Eli and my dad were in a boat together and the other group was in a boat together. And none of us really had that deep of knowledge of how to fish, specifically how to fish for like walleye and northern, and even more specifically, some Canadian lake we've never been to. The people in the other boat did have a little bit more experience, but they struggled too. We actually didn't do as well as we were led on to believe fishing in Canada. We thought it was just cast and catch, but no, it wasn't that way. And so we tried a few things. We took some advice from people. We tried different baits, different locations, different depths, things like that. But we never really got what we were hoping for. The other group decided they didn't go all the way to Canada to catch hardly any fish. And so they hired a guide. They went out the whole day. They caught their limit. And the guide would take them to fishing spots. They'd show them where to fish, how to fish that spot based on the depth, and give them knowledge. And they'd catch fish, and they would determine this fish is better than the last one. They'd throw other ones back because that's how many they caught, right? And so they were fishing with a guide. Well, we were kind of just fishing with guesses. So we're all on a journey, each and every one of us. The Bible is very clear about the destination, and the Bible is our map that shows us how to get there. We don't exactly know how we're going about it or what our life specifically is going to look like. We don't know if we will face the same challenges that we've seen someone else successfully face. We don't know if we will face challenges that we've seen no one else face. Our destination is eternity with God. But right now, our journey is somewhere in the middle. And in this journey, living for God is not a series of random, small wins stacked on top of each other that makes us feel like we're doing things right. We know as believers that even millions upon millions of successes does not make us right with God. Living for God is not blindly guessing at what He wants for us. And today we're going to learn what it looks like to live in a way that we are guided and not guessing. So we're going to jump into some words of Paul. And so we're going to read Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. But before we do that, Romans is loaded. And this is some of the things that I wanted to talk about today is actually why things changed yesterday so much, because I started getting into it, and theologically there was just so much that I didn't even understand, and I didn't want to speak without understanding. But if we look at the first part of Romans leading up to Romans 12, basically Romans 12 starts with a therefore, and in the first sentence. And whenever a chapter starts with a therefore, we know that there's something before it that we need to consider. And so what happens in the first 11 chapters of Romans? Well, they're loaded with theological descriptions of the fall of humanity, the justification we receive through the death of Jesus, and the hope that all people can have because Jesus paid the price for our sin. But we get to chapter 12, and it gets a little bit more practical. So let's read Romans 12, 1 through 2. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So see, just like I said, very practical. Be a living sacrifice, do not be conformed to the world, and through a renewed mind you can follow the will of God. Okay. So maybe it's not quite as easy as it sounds. But I think we can unravel this, and we're going to work through these sections and kind of look at three key points or three things that Paul is saying here that we should do to live a guided life. So the first one, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. As we said earlier, it kind of mentioned, living for God is hard. Whenever we're faced with something difficult, there's often difficult consequences of not doing it as well, as we were kind of seeing before. In our walk with God, there's distractions, there's sacrifices we have to make, and there's maybe even persecution, right? Maybe we don't see it as much as other people, but we know that it exists, and it comes in various forms. And I think that's why this idea of being a living sacrifice is so important, because without this mindset, we can't do the other parts of Romans 12 that we read about. And Paul didn't talk about this living sacrifice just one time. In 1 Corinthians as well, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, he says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And Paul shared these words after a section of Scripture talking more specifically about fleeing sexual immorality. But the idea of not being our own carries through far more than that. A life surrendered to God doesn't pick and choose which parts to give up, which parts to hold on to. We literally say the old self is dead. The new self has been bought with a price, and we are now His. Recognizing that this body, our mind, our hearts, our time, every moment from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep is His. Living for God is hard. And without this perspective first, it's likely impossible. God doesn't play tug of war with our life either to force us into submitting our lives to Him. Just as Jesus died for our sins, He did it willingly. God didn't make Him do it. And the same with us. God doesn't force us into this life. God doesn't force us to live according to the way He wants us. If God forced us to be living sacrifices, then it wouldn't be worship, right? When we read Romans 12:1, the second half of that verse talked about worship. It said to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. In order to be worshiping, we have to choose. We have to be able to choose to do it, and God has given us that choice. So being a living sacrifice is not about living our lives and waiting for God to call us to something. It's about giving our lives now without knowing what it is, and we should always be ready. So notice here also, Paul encourages us to give ourselves up for sacrifice, yet he doesn't call us to lay down our lives. He tells us to be living sacrifices. When something is sacrificed, it is completely given up. It isn't borrowed for a bit, right? So this doesn't mean that God gets one day of our week or 1 hour of our day. A living sacrifice is a body that is present in this world to worship and serve our Almighty God at all times. The next part of Romans 12 was, do not be conformed to this world. So it continues with the instruction, do not be conformed to this world. If we let the world guide us, we can be certain it will have a tendency to lead us away from God and not towards Him. The enemy is at work in this world, and Jesus calls him the father of lies. He will be more than happy to guide you towards his lies if you do not replace those lies with truth. So this is the part where I get to talk about flying a little bit more. So I'm going to teach you a little bit about navigating while flying. If you think about, you know, you go up in the air and you're trying to get from point A to point B, sometimes you can see the roads below you, but other than that, you don't have road signs, right, to tell you where to go. So you have to have a way to navigate. And so that's one of the challenges. This has gotten a lot easier in flying today with GPS, the same as it does in your car, easier to drive somewhere or to get to your destination. But in the past, pilots relied on a compass to guide them. I don't know if you've ever used a real compass. I mean, many of you have them in your phone and it's digital, right? But like the old school real compass works off a pull of the earth. In the earth's core, there's like molten nickel and iron, and it's moving around inside the core, and that movement of that creates magnetic poles on the earth at both the north and the south end of it. So we got the North Pole, right? You've heard of that. So with this magnetic pole of the earth, the way a compass works is you have a needle, a small little needle that's magnetized, and if you can float that needle on something, like and make it, you know, reduce the friction quite a bit, then that needle will actually turn and point towards north. This technology, you have compasses in your car. Those are more probably digital, but in airplanes, we still actually use the physical old school compass that points to north with the magnetic pole. And so this is great and all. So now whenever we're flying, when we're, you know, going across the country or whatever, we know which direction's north. So it helps us guide our flight. But there is a slight problem with this, and I have an image I want to show you. The magnetic north moves. So the point that the compass is turning to moves every year. It's kind of hard to see this, it's a little far away, but you know, this goes all the way back to the 1600s, and it's a little bit older graphic, and so it projects out to 2020. But some years, the magnetic north, the point that our compass points to, can move as much as 30 miles. And the closer you are to it, the bigger the swing is where you're off. And so when navigating by the compass, you could literally fly the same heading in two different years, or maybe even months, and end up in a different place. So why is this important? Why do I talk about this? It's just an analogy for us to think about the pull of the world on us, right? The pull of the world cannot be trusted. We can't fully trust what the compass tells us when we're flying and what the world around us tells us about the way we live and the things we should think and the things we should say and the things that we should believe. We can't trust it because the world is not guiding us precisely. It's not guiding us the way the Bible guides us. In the Bible, the worldly actions or worldly desires are often referred to as things of the flesh. Paul uses this terminology a lot in the beginning of Romans and other places in his letters, talking about the flesh. Things of the world often promise us something and don't deliver. The things they promise us end up often with destruction or instant or short gratification. In the Bible, a person before they surrendered their life to Christ is also said to be living in the flesh because all they knew at that point, before they surrendered their life to Christ, is things of the world. But then the Spirit enters them and dwells in them, and now they serve the desires of God and not the desires of the flesh. Paul in Galatians gives us even more details about what we should do instead. Going back to what we were talking about earlier, this isn't an exhaustive checklist of shoulds and should nots, but we see him present to us a list of attitudes of the heart to establish within ourselves. So we read Galatians 5, 19 through 24. And it says in Galatians, now the works of the flesh are evident. sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So we are not to be conformed to the world. And Paul has given us an image of what it looks like to not be. He also showed us some things that it does look like to be conformed to the world. Similar to being a living sacrifice, we have to take action to not be conformed to the world. Sure, there's a lot of things in this list in Galatians that Paul talks about. There's a lot of things in the Bible, a lot of should-nots in our lives, right? We say we shouldn't do those things. But that's not where it ends. And what Paul continues on to say is he gives us what we call the fruits of the Spirit, right? And we have to actively put these things into our lives. We have to actively adopt these as attitudes of our heart, of ways that we live in the world, in our lives, because that is how it's going to replace the things that we should not be doing. That is how, we don't passively hope that we avoid all those things, right? Instead, we put on the fruits of the Spirit and actively pursue living out those values. The idea of avoiding worldly things is tricky because it really is just a list of things not to do. We can easily create a mental list of things not to do and attitudes we don't want to have. But if you think of it this way, you don't love your spouse by a list of things you don't do to them or a list of attitudes you don't have towards them, right? You don't get recognized at work for the things you didn't do. Paul gives us a list of worldly defeating attitudes, the fruits of the Spirit. And we take on these attitudes in order to reject worldly living. And when we're living out these attitudes, we're able to be guided to accomplishing that. And finally, in Paul's, in Romans 12, where we read, Paul says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. This was his final direction to us in Romans 12. And I don't know about you, but some of the biggest battles I fight take place in my mind. I'm literally on both sides of the fight, right? Like the same brain that can spend 30 minutes trying to figure out what to eat for dinner can take like less than 30 seconds to decide I'm not going to take time out of my day to say hi to someone, to help someone, or to take a risk to open up about my faith in Jesus. Because generally, if I'm not fighting it, my mind is focused on things of the flesh. Fear and self-preservation, taking the easy route, acquiring earthly treasures. These are priorities of a mind set on things of the flesh. And Paul talks about this topic somewhere else as well, in a different part of Romans, where we're not going to read today, as I mentioned, but even Paul talks about his struggles with these things, that even though the Spirit is in him, that his flesh continues to struggle with these things. And I think as followers of Christ, we have a lot of good intentions of our hearts, right? We want to live for God. We desire that anyone we meet would know God and follow him. We want to do things that God desires that we do. We want to live a surrendered life. If you are a follower of Christ, these goals are easy to want, right? However, the mind is where a lot of times where these good desires get turned into lack of action or the opposite action. The mind is where we see a world in need and say, that's not our problem. The mind is where we take note of luxuries of life, the pleasures of life, and all this world has to offer, and where we decide to accept that temporary satisfaction that we can find in the world. However, Paul says to seek a renewal of the mind. A renewing of the mind occurs by setting our minds on spiritual things and not earthly things. So Paul wrote about this in a different letter of his as well. In Colossians 3, 1 through 2, he says, If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. There are several places where we see this idea of fixing or setting our minds. And what does that mean exactly? I think it's actually a pretty simple topic. It really just means think about these things, right? Focus on these things. Think about what the Bible says. Think about what God wants. Think about how God sees something. It's not complex, but it isn't necessarily easy. The Bible says when we put our faith in Christ, the Spirit dwells within us. And when the Spirit dwells within us, we have the capability to set our minds on things of the Spirit. Again, like the other two ideas, if you're having trouble knowing what the Spirit might be thinking about, one thing you can do is take out your map, right? This is our map here that we can use, the Bible. And to think about God when you, this is not a passive activity, just like the other two. It's not just sit and wait for God to direct you to do something. For example, we talked about being a living sacrifice, right? We don't just wait till God gives us something, but we actively seek how to be a sacrifice. And when we, to prevent being conformed to the world, we don't just avoid a bunch of things. We fill our lives with things of the Spirit. And in this case, too, we don't just wait until, like, we have a decision to make, and now we talk, and now we think about what Jesus would want. Or we're not just pressed with a circumstance, and now we think about what God wants. It's a deliberate activity to continuously think and change our thinking towards God, what He wants, His desires for your life and the world around you, constantly. So Romans 12, 1 through 2. Let's read it again now. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Be transformed through the renewal of your mind. Live as someone who is no longer their own. When you do that, then you can begin to replace the world's lies with God's truth, which then frees you to intentionally set your mind on the Spirit and the things above. Earlier, we spoke about magnetic north and how difficult it is to navigate by the pole of the earth with a compass when the location keeps moving. And while pilots use a compass to point to magnetic north when they're flying, we don't use maps that are based on magnetic north, because those maps would have to constantly change. And so the actual title of this message, I know we're kind of getting to the end of it, but now we're going to talk about the title of it. The title of this message is actually True North, because True North is the direction that pilots actually use for navigation. We have maps that are printed, and we use True North to orient all the locations and landmarks that we're flying to and from. And True North doesn't change. True North is actually the point that the world spins around. So if you had an axis through, or like a, if you look through the world where it spins, that's the point it spins around. So when we fly, we still use a compass, because that is the tool we have, and it gives us a little bit of knowledge about where north is, because there is no instrument that tells us where true north is. But our maps, when they're printed, like I said, the maps don't change, but what they do is they put into context as they get reprinted where magnetic north is at time. And when we plan our routes and we fly from one location to another, we know the offset of magnetic north, and we plan our route based on that variation. So as that changes, it's just a small update to the map. Okay. And so when I thought about this actually a couple of years ago, I started thinking about this topic as I was learning more about it. You know, I thought the analogy is something that I want to refocus my thoughts around. I want to focus my thoughts around a true north, towards a point that's not changing, and that I can continuously go to and get the right answer, and I can navigate towards it, and it's the right direction to go. Because it is, like we've talked about throughout this morning, it is very hard to get somewhere when you have the world telling you different things, right? And so, to me, this idea of True North, when I learned about it and started applying it as a pilot, I said that, I realized that really applies to my spiritual life too. I can't chase a moving target, and because God doesn't change, and God is not a moving target, right? And so I decided that I actually was like this idea so much, I did get a tattoo of it. You can see it up there. Sorry about the hairy arm, but I thought I'd put the picture up there. But this is just, for me, this is about a constant reminder about where I'm headed, where I should be headed, where I want to be headed, right? The true north for me is the cross that Jesus died on. He was a living and a dying sacrifice for me. Jesus was not conformed to this world, but instead he lived a perfect life. Jesus was always focused on the will of the Father, praying and seeking his will. Jesus had the mind that we are instructed to have by Paul. He points us to the Father, and the Spirit in us helps us to see and think like him. In a world that tries to pull us into its lies, we look to our never-changing, true north, Jesus, the cross, as our guide in life. We have to reject some of our natural tendencies of how we think and live, and that's not easy. Like we said from the very beginning, this isn't easy. But it's also not easy to face the creator of the universe someday and say, sorry, it was too hard. The things we spoke about today are choices we have to make every day, not opportunities we wait to see if they happen, right? We don't just wait and see when God calls us to something. We don't just wait to see when he tells us to think about something. We don't just wait and see if he has a value he wants to build in us. We are actively pursuing these things day after day, and that's what Paul's encouraging us to do. This is worship to him. When we change our perspective on our life, on who it belongs to, we can put on the fruit of the Spirit and change our thoughts to focus on him. A renewed mind is a mind fixed or set on the will of the Father. Our true north is Jesus and his obedience all the way to the cross. Our roadmap for day to day is the Bible, and our destination in life is life with the Creator of the universe. And our journey is difficult, but not alone. Let's pray, and the worship team can come up as we close on this. Father, we thank you so much that you don't leave us to blindly figure out where we're headed. You've given us your word. You've given us the Spirit in us. You've given us Jesus as an example. And you draw us towards yourself. And this morning we pray, as we think about these words of Paul, Father, we pray that you would help us take action, that we'd be moving in the direction towards you and not waiting for circumstances or things to push us there, but that it would be a pursuit that we wake up every day and we start it again and we do it again and we go harder towards you. And Father, thank you for the cross that is our ultimate guide, because there we know that you want us to be yours, because you sent your Son. He laid down his life, and you did that for us. So we know you want to be with us because you've made a way. And give us a daily desire to head in that direction, to follow that course, to get to you, to reorient our lives around your will, to not be our own, but to be yours, and to see our lives that way. Lord, help us to to live a life that's guided towards you, not guessing what you want. And you don't make that hard to figure out. You simply ask us to trust, to follow your word. And like Paul said, put on the fruits of the Spirit. We thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.